Look in your Bibles to the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 22, and I'm going to continue on where I left off Wednesday night preaching, and if you didn't get that, then look online, it's there, and we'll try to pick up where we left off. Been preaching through these Psalms lately on Wednesday night, but the Holy Ghost, how Friday touched me and told me to preach on this morning as we continue on in Psalm 22, and I do appreciate how God's been stirring my heart in this psalm as we've studied and read and preached, and I thank him and I praise him for it today. If you're willing and able, stand this morning, Psalm 22. Now I'll just read out the first 21 verses because that's all we'll deal with this morning, and try to get on through as we're preaching out of this psalm. Psalm 22, and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, as strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. I deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity one more time to assemble with your people in your house. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning. I beg you from the depth of my soul. Lord, I ask you to touch us, anoint us by the Holy Ghost, that I might preach the scripture, have the message of laid upon my heart today. Lord, we ask you to remove anything that would hinder the preaching of the word of God. I pray, may you be exalted and glorified. May sinners be saved. Help us open our understanding. Let the word of God have find its resting place in our hearts today. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach, continue on a thought from Wednesday. I'm preaching on this subject of Christ, our sacrifice. Christ, our sacrifice. That is what we find in Psalm 22. This messianic prophetic psalm pointing to the day that Jesus Christ would take your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, put it upon himself, be crucified, died, be buried and rise again, that we could be saved. Now I began preaching on on that Wednesday night. And I mentioned this, this psalm is divided in two parts. At verse 1 through 21, we see the gloom. Then verse 22 through verse 31, we find the glory. I want to say this morning, we're looking in verses 1 through 21 at the gloom. We've already looked at Christ and his cries. How he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can I remind you, he did that because of you and because of me. I've forsaken, abandoned, left alone, that you and I would never be forsaken, that we could be saved, that we could have eternal communion with the Holy God. Oh, friend, today, I'm glad Christ took our place, our sin. Oh, that those cries, the place, the period, and the passion of his cries. But this morning, I want to continue to look at this in verse number 6 through 8 and verse 12 through 13 at Christ and the crowd. For we find there that day there's a crowd gathered around the cross. Now, again, David is the penman of Psalm 22, but he's not writing about anything he's ever experienced. He is prophesying. He, by the Spirit of God, is pointing to that day, and we find there's a crowd prophesying what would be at the cross and the things they would say and the things that they would do. I want to stress this to you and I today. Had we been there, we'd been one of the crowd. Amen. You say, no, I wouldn't. Well, you're looking from this side. You're looking from the side of being saved. But had you still been lost, you'd been there that day. You'd done no different than the crowd. You'd joined in. Why? That's the way sin is. It dominates your life. Oh, friend, we find that crowd in verses 6 through 8 prophesied that the crowd would be malicious. For the Bible said, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me lap me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. It's prophesied how malicious this crowd would be. Hey, that word malicious means to have malice, but it means to intend to do harm. It means spiteful, vengeful, and nasty, hurtful, and wounding, cruel, and unkind. That's how the crowd was that day. Hey, I'm telling you again, you'd been there, you'd done the same thing. You joined in, crucify him, I crucify him. And then at the very cross, you began to mock and scoff just like they did. Hey, it's prophesied. They despised the Lord. They laughed at the Lord. They stuck out the tongue at the Lord. They ridiculed, they mocked, they poked fun at the Lamb of God as he was dying for their sin and the sin of the whole world. We find in Matthew chapter 27, I've been having you read there each day as well. Mark 15, Luke 23, all describe this same event, how they gathered, how they said, he saved others. Man, what about that? Matthew 27, verse 41, I'll get that verse too. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him, the scribes and elders said, he saved others himself, he cannot save. Man, that's a half-truth, but they told some truth. Hey, he had saved others. Now, the half-truth is he couldn't save himself and save you because they were saying he can't save himself. He could. But if he did, you'd be lost. Had Christ left the cross, there'd been no sacrifice. He had to pay the debt in full. Ladies and gentlemen, we find that they mocked him. They began to say, matter of fact, they quote the verse out of Psalm in verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. He begins to bear our sin, and the crowd is malicious toward him. Oh, my soul, to think about how they were yelling, how they were mocking and making fun. And yet, the Lord has mercy. I want you to think about something just a minute. We ain't, you may not jump up and down. Your mind's on snow anyhow. But I'm going to preach to you. How would you know something? While that crowd's a mocking, while that crowd's being malicious, he cries from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, friend, Jesus was dying that you could be forgiven, that you could be saved. While the crowd's malicious, he's merciful, he's kind, he is compassionate. And he says, "Father, I forgive them. They know not what they do." Oh, friend, today, friend, this world that's lost, some have never heard of Jesus. They don't know anything about his saving ability. But ladies and gentlemen, their sin has blinded their minds. And friend, they need to hear that Christ had died, that they could live, that they could be forgiven. As Christ said, be forgiven. Oh, friend, today we find the crowd was malicious. Man, you talk about a mean crowd. I watch the news from time to time, and these protest rallies, man, they pretty mean sometimes, can get violent sometimes, but nothing like this crowd. This crowd's turned on the Creator. This crowd, friend, is after the Prince of Glory. Amen. Oh, friend, the maliciousness, and yet he opens not his mouth, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. Why? Because it was our sin that he was paying the debt for. We see the crowd was malicious. Let me say this, the crowd was merciless. They showed no mercy or pity. I read to you how they were malicious, how they're scorning, how they're laughing, sticking the tongue out. Then in verse 12 through 13, and then also we find verse 16 and verse 20, we find the crowd is showing no mercy. Look back at verse 12 in Psalm 22. The Bible said, "Many bulls have compassed me, as strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion." Verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me, the sin of the wicked have enclosed me." Verse 20, "Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog." He's letting you know there's no pity, there's no mercy at the cross. Hey, he calls them bulls, he calls them cannibals, he calls them lions, he calls them dogs. Why is that? Because of the nature of those is mentioned there. Hey, he talks about bulls, the bulls of Bashan beset him around. Have you ever seen a bull when he's ready to charge somebody? Where he begins to stomp his feet and begins to snort, and he's ready to go, or he's ready to attack. That's how that crowd is at the cross. And no mercy, no pity. Sitting down. Matter of fact, here's an amazing verse to me in Matthew 27 when it said they sat down and watched him. Hey, you talk about calloused. To be able to sit down and watch somebody die. But that's what they did. They sat there. Hey, bulls ready to go. Hey, it said they gaped upon me with their mouth. He said they're like a bunch of cannibals. They're ready to devour. Amen. Hey, then he said this. He said they're lions. Boy, the lion's going to pounce and destroy and divide. Oh, then dogs. Man, that's interesting. The dogs have compassed me. Saved me. Out of verse 20, from the power of the dog. You see, in Bible days, most dogs were wild. They weren't pets. They run in packs, and man, they were ready to destroy and kill. And by the way, let me throw this out. If you study anything about history, about crucifixion, you find out sometimes those Roman soldiers, after somebody's crucified, they'd take them down, they just throw them out in the pile, let the dogs devour them. That's right. Hey, let me help you with something. Crucifixion's not a smooth gold cross. No. It's not four or five drops of blood, but it is an agonizing, horrible death. Here's this crowd. They're malicious. They're merciless. But then let's go on. Let's only look at the Christ and the crowd. But in verse 14 through 18, let's look at Christ and the cross just a minute. For the Bible said, beginning verse 14, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The sin of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Hey, friend, the psalmist is prophesying all this about Christ and the cross. Now, it's not given in a particular order, but I'm going to look at it in the order that it was fulfilled for just a minute. Because when you go to the book of Matthew at chapter 27, what we find that there is a man by the name of Barabbas who would have been crucified with these other two thieves. But he is set free and Christ is placed on his cross. But here's the amazing thing I find as you study the Bible, that we would refer to it as being at Barabbas' cross. But Christ said it was his own cross. What about that? Listen to what the Bible said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14. He said, blotting out the handwriting ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what should have been Barabbas' cross? What should have been your cross? What should have been my cross? He made it his own. Oh, hey, we've been singing about Calvary again today. Man, sometimes we just float along singing. Then other times we sing with our understanding and grasp what's been said. Can I say this? From a child. Hey, even before I got saved, when we'd sing that song at Calvary, man, I knew there'd just something different as we sung those words. And then after I got saved, can I say it became a favorite for my heart? And to think about Calvary, think about that cross. I think about my sin and your sin. Oh, friend, he made it his own. Well, we find all the verses I read to you are fulfilled. Matthew chapter 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. But I want you to notice some things with me quickly, and I'm done. As soon as I get done with this right here, listen to me. Five things, and I'm done. First of all, we find back in Psalm 22:18, his public humiliation. The Bible said they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Ladies and gentlemen, when they crucified him, they stripped him. Hey, though clothes, he's naked, beaten, bleeding, bruised. Ladies and gentlemen, publicly humiliated. Hey, that's what sin does. Sin will strip everything that you have. It'll take your health. It'll take your wealth. It'll take your family. It'll take your sanity. It'll take everything you got. Christ is stripped, letting you know, hey, sin will take it all away. Oh, it's public humiliation. We find in Matthew 27:35, he said, they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Hey, it came to pass like he prophesied over 1,000 years before it happened. You talk about pinpoint accuracy. Hey, I'm going to tell you again here tonight. So this morning, some of you were working master clubs. Others had to work. Wasn't here Wednesday night. Understand something. Psalm 22 is good proof. You can trust your Bible. There ain't any errors in it. No mistakes. It's perfect. Amen. Hey, don't you dare get caught up in that crowd saying it ought to be rendered and this ought not been there and this shit. Hey, you understand today God had it wrote down like he wanted. Amen. And he let us know that he is publicly humiliated because of sin. And all we see his public humiliation. But verse 16 of Psalm 22, he is pierced. The latter part said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Again, David knew nothing about crucifixion. It wasn't even around in David's day. The Jews stoned to death their criminals. But it was the Romans and the Grecians that perfected crucifixion. And they used it greatly. And they dried nails in the hands and in the feet and stretched them out like a torture's rack. Now understand something. His hands are pierced, his feet are pierced, and the only way to get breath is for him to push up and pull with his hands. Hey, you about suffocate to death in crucifixion. And on top of all that, Christ has been scourged before this. So his body is mangled and bleeding as he gasps for breath. You realize every cry, every conversation he had on the cross was with intense suffering. Just to speak. Friend, we find that according to Luke 23:33, they crucified him at Calvary. So they pierced his hand, they pierced his feet. We find also he is poured out in verse 14. He said, I'm poured out like water. Hey, what's that mean? It's letting you know this is no accident. It didn't say I'm spilt like water. Oh, no. Spilling's accidental. But pouring's purpose. Amen. Hey, the Lord on purpose has died for everybody. He tasted death for all men. Amen. Hey, friend, we find he is pierced and he's poured out his pain. The Bible said, all my bones, verse 14, all my bones are out of joint. My heart is melted. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. Oh, friend, verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. You say, preacher, why is his bones like that? Because when he was dropping earth on that cross, it jerked every bone in his body. That didn't break none of them. All right? Now, I'm not going to get into how I feel he's crucified his hand and his feet being pierced, but I will say this, there ain't a bone broke, so you figure that out. Amen? Not one bone of Christ is broke. It couldn't have. He's fulfilling all the Old Testament sacrifices and not bone, not bruise, nothing could have been wrong in the sacrifice, and there wasn't in Christ. Amen. But as he hang there, his elbows out of joint, his shoulders are out. Hey, it's just from that thud of being drunk and then the pain that he is in on the cross. I'm going to be honest with you, and today when I get preaching on this right here, my mind can't grab all that. Because I've never suffered like that, and you've never suffered like that. But you talk about pain. Again, just to speak, excruciating pain. Amen. And all his bones, him pulling up to get a breath, his pulling up to speak, all that caused you. All that caused me. Amen. Greater pain than anybody has ever. Hey, no greater pain than anybody's ever. Hey, let me say this, number five, and I'm about done. He is parched in verse 15. The Bible said, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Hey, he's parched. He's thirsty. John 19:28. He cries from the cross, I thirst. Man, I'm telling you something. That one cry, every time I think of it, the Creator that spoke everything and made all things thirsty. The one that meted out the oceans, the seas in his hand. Old Testament writer talk. He poured all the oceans out of it and he's thirsty. Why is that, preacher? Why did Christ thirst at Calvary? I believe it's simple because of Luke 16. Because in verse 24, that rich man that lifted his eyes in hell said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Do you understand at Calvary he's suffering all the wrath of God? He's suffering hell. You do understand that. He's thirsting because then those in hell are thirsting. Amen. But you know, here's the good news, and I'm done. You hear me this morning. Because what Christ did, you can have a drink of living water and never thirst again. I'm not going to beg for water in eternity. Oh, no, no, no. Never, never. Why? Because I got to the living water. Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Satisfied that my soul. Hey, today as a lost person, can I say if Jesus came or death grabbed you today, hell be your home, thirsty for all eternity. Thirsting and never getting a drop of water. But today's an opportunity to get saved. Not only just get a drink of living water, but leave out here with a well on the inside of you. An artesian well. But that's why we do get happy around here. It's because the well's in here now since we got saved, and it bubbles up inside of us. Oh, yes. Hey, friend, Christ took our place. He took all sin, every sin, paid the debt that we could be saved. Are you born again today? Oh, if not, I beg you, run to Christ and be saved today. Father, thank you for the word of God. I've tried my best this morning in delivering what you put on my heart. Lord, nothing more, nothing less. I've tried not to leave anything out, tried to preach it as you gave it. Lord, I pray help us now. Lord, even as your people, God, be good this afternoon. What we've heard right here this morning would roll over in our hearts and minds and be reminded over and over again what you did for us. Lord, for that soul that's lost here today, may they run to you and be saved in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've tried my best to preach what the Lord told me today. Is there someone here being real honest? We'll lift a hand and say, preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me today. Anybody, preacher, I'm being awesome, but set for God. I see these young hands. Preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me. I want us to stand today. Can I say to us, they're saved? That's why we need to be a witness. That they know what Christ did for them, that they too could be saved. Maybe you're burdened about somebody. Maybe you need to come pray. Maybe it's because you know you're saved, but maybe you're not walking with God like you ought to. Need to come do business about that. Whatever you need, would you come while we're singing? This altar's open.